The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
And five,
hey,
four,
hey,
three,
hey.
Two. What up, y'all? Welcome to his thing. I'm Kevin. Thanks,
that cheek.
Welcome to another podcast episode. Smash that like button. Smash that notification button. Bangers. All 2024. It is a big day. Kevin on Stage Studios church announcement. The hospital. We have worked on this from the mountains.
There it is.
All summer. We shot this in the summer, edited over the summer. If you go back on Kev on Stage Studios YouTube page, as of right now, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, Patreon, we got our premiere tonight. As of right now, it's up. You can go watch the first episode right now. Before I talk anymore, Josh is going to put in a clip, and he promised he's really going to do it this time.
I'm going to do it this time.
Sometimes he doesn't do it. Sometimes, guys, I don't even know.
I'll be having a lot going on, and then I start editing, and that is uploaded. I'm not going to lie. I'm sorry.
He promised me he's not going to forget. Check out this clip. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Do-do-do-do.
So did you hear it?
Hear what?
Did you hear my mixtape?
No.
Okay, well, here it is. So
wait.
My rap name is Dr. Do It To Him, right? Album name, No Scrubs, : Brown's Anatomy.
Fire.
Because, you know, we in a hospital.
Yeah.
We black.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
What'd you think?
I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. I got a preview for you. How about this? Track 2. Being a nurse is a gift and a curse. I ain't got no patience. Nigga is the worst.
It is.
These
it
niggas is Bugs Bummy. Till I bust your top. Hoes see me and they like, eh, what's up, doc?
This elevator is slow.
You know what? It is long. They flatlining while I'm rhyming. I'm on that coroner timing. Where'd they go? I don't wanna know. I'm Mario Winans. Cause that song, I Don't Wanna Know. Is that Mario Winans? Anyways, I'll be selling it on datpiff.com for about $39.99.
Okay.
I don't take any major credit cards, so.
Yeah, okay.
Later.
Should have been a lawyer.
All right. So listen, y'all. I want you to know the Patreon, it's a new day. It's the dawning of a new day. Okay. You already get the bonus with me and Angel, right? We have a good time.
Good time.
We have a great time. You get two episodes of this a week. We have other shows. We have Game Night, full season aired, 12 episodes. Okay. That's on there. Dear Kev is on there. The hospital is the beginning of the new era. All right. I put a lot of my own bread up for this. I ain't going to hold you. The hospital was not cheap. Okay. Patreon didn't have the money for it. I did some brand deals and some comedy shows. I paid for this out of my own pocket. Shows.
What a month, actually.
I did. I paid for this out of my own pocket because I believed in it that much. I hired black writers, men and women.
He fired me off the set to cut
no,
costs.
No, Josh was out of town being handsome somewhere. He was mulling it up. Him and Gustavo being cutie, Spanish guy.
I said mowing it up.
Mowing it up.
Oh, okay. I thought you said mowing it up.
Black comedians, actors, actresses. Angel was on world tour. I asked her. She was between the Dominican and Paris.
We're not friends.
That's no. The only sadness. There was a sketch that I had for you that just my heart was not set.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but you had some amazing actors and actresses.
Actors and actresses. A lot of people that you see working with us all the time. Some people you've never seen. I'm not going to name everybody, but we put a free episode up for you so you know what you're missing. Bring us the five, man. I don't know how else to tell you. You have great content. You have community. You have shows that are made for viewers like you. There's no intermediary. We don't have to go to somebody, some executive, and say, oh, is this okay? People get this. We have CP doing some of the funniest things he's ever done. Tony Baker. I'm just going to name a few people.
Oh, because you're doing it.
Because I already started. CP, yeah. Tony Baker, Pat, Tahir, Denora, Candace Renee, Mark J.P. Hood, Sharice, Lauren Lott, Jasmine Robinson, Tamara J. from Black Lady Sketcho with Angel, Roxy Hayes appears, me, Kevin, Mel Mitchell, did I say Denora?
Yeah, you did.
Delay.
Tony the Baker.
Was Quinn there?
Quinn Walters was there. Tony the Baker
Patrick
was there.
Patrick the Cloud?
Patrick the Cloud. The whole gang's there. All right? So watch it. I mean, at this point, all I can do is put it before you. If you don't do the Patreon now, then you just ain't going to do it. And we're going to continue on believing God. Angel, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Hey, listen here. If you want to feel the Spirit of God, rest, rule, and abide in you, I want you to come on down to Bloomington, Illinois on November the 15th. Yay, God. Yay, God.
Yay, God. Yay, God. Bloom. Because things are blooming in your life.
Hey.
Them dead things is dead and gone.
Come on.
He's somebody. Blooming in the town. Bloomington. And you're not outside of Indiana. You're in Indiana.
Come on. In Illinois.
Also you're Illinois. Never mind. State. We're not going to be quiet, Angel. We're going to Illinois.
Illinois. We're going to make some noise in Illinois. On November the 15th, I will be at Extended Scepter. If you know the word, you know what it is. You know what it is. Extend that scepter to the Lord. Oh, I'll be at their conference doing a game night with the Saints. We're going to have some fun down at the DoubleTree. No, I don't know which the hotel is. But listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to ES Ministries Online. .com or org. It's one of those two. Type them both in. One of them will take you to my aunt's face. Okay, into the flyer. Get your tickets. I'll be there. We're going to have a good gosh darn on time. And the Lord also be on the lookout in November. I think it's coming. No. This week. Oh, I'm so glad. Today.
Oh.
It's October the 29th. I had to look it up. Black Comedy in America is a documentary that is on Netflix that was produced, executive produced by my very good friend, Anthony Smith, as well as Spence. What's his name? Christopher Spencer.
Chris Spencer.
Thank you.
Oh,
I was like, my brain just stopped. Chris Spencer also was the executive producer. And I'm in there. We're talking about the history of black comedy in America. And I really got to be astute. I was like, you all ask me because I'm a black comedian, aren't I? So check that out on Netflix. Please support. That's all my announcements today.
That's good.
All right. The number one requested topic, and we got a lot to get to today.
Courtesy of the stage crew.
Stage crew, y'all be filling the docket up. But the number one thing was Shaq and Angel Reese. Mm-hmm. Shaq was shacked in a fool. He was shacked in a fool. He was on her podcast, and I'm just going to play the clip, and then we'll just get into it.
Don't strike this on the tape, Christian.
We ain't striking it.
Don't. Let me tell you, if you just lower like that to where it gives your ability to dunk. Bro, imagine you.
I'm not imagining.
This is the part I thought I was playing.
Imagine you in the same little shirt you had on at the Wild and Out show, dunking. You know how many t-shirts you're going to sell, Chris? You tripping.
Oh, my God.
The same little.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so if you couldn't understand what Shaq said, he said if you wore them same booty shorts that you was wearing the Wildin' Out show and you was dunking, then you'd have an interesting game. As a black woman, Angel, I'd love to hear your thoughts first.
Ain't he like 30 years older than us?
At least. I think Angel Reese is like 22, 23, maybe 24.
He's 52.
That's like hearing your uncle or your father say...
22.
Yeah, if you show your ass some more, we'll watch. That's every day. That gives me the heebie damn jeebies.
Gina Rodriguez.
He knew what he was saying. Yeah. He said, don't strike this.
Right. He was like, no, I'm going to say it because nobody else will say it. There's a reason.
Other people shouldn't say it.
And people are like, but she She wore those shorts. If I had a really great doctor who on the weekend she's a baddie,
yeah,
ass cheeks out, titties up. What I don't want is her with her ass cheeks out while operating on me. Because right.
What if they fall out? What if one falls out?
That's a little different. But then I'll be like, what type of scrubs are you wearing that your butt cheeks are falling out? It's saying that it's like these men get to be ugly and play basketball and play football and play baseball.
They get to be ugly?
They get to be ugly, just mud ducks out there. And nobody's like, now, if you get yourself a little bit pretty, if everybody look like Jalen Hurts, then more women
Everybody can't look like Jalen Hurts.
Everybody can't look like Angela Reese, nor Angel Reese, nor do they need to look like her, and nor do they need to be sexy when this is a like physical, like hard physical job.
Very physical job. That's not why men are not watching the sport. Exactly. This guy on TikTok made a fantastic point. There was this thing called the Lingerie League, and it was women playing tackle football in, like, you know, basically Victoria's Secret stuff. And he said that league failed. He said because people who want lingerie don't want to see sports. They just want to see people in lingerie being sexy.
Yeah.
And people who want to actually watch sports don't want to see people in lingerie. If you want to watch the game, first of all, go ahead.
I'm sorry, just to interject.
Black women.
These men would not feel comfortable if they had to show their dick print the entire game. I bet you they wouldn't play as they would be self-conscious. They'd be like, did it go on soft? I was trying to keep it as a chubby the whole time. Did it go on? Did it? Because when he dunked on me, and I tried to make it go harder, but it kept going back.
It kept going in.
They would not play as good of a game if they had to worry about your meat. The print has to be visibly, like, to everyone in the audience the whole game. They would not. If there was, like, a sock, not if the basketball shorts no longer just were the front panel. If it socked it, you got to put your penis in the sock, and it's on the outside. The whole game.
And you're flopping McFloppy. Oh, that's a new flop. You talking about flopping already. Yeah. There's some flopping going on.
Exactly. And we don't want to see you throw bricks, but we want to see your brick. And people going to laugh at you when you can't get the whole Lakers. That nigga can only get to lap. The other part ain't got nothing in there. The ERS is just ain't got nothing.
You want
in
some more women to start watching the game? Let's get some balls in the basketball.
Give me some more balls.
And here's the thing I want to say. If you watch the NBA lately, they don't be dunking as much as they used to anyway. Mm-hmm. It's 50, 60 threes. The Celtics shot like 50 threes in their first game. Mm-hmm. 50. The game is all space, pop, shoot, space and place, quarter threes, big three, logo three. It ain't back you down and dunk. I mean, of course, they still got dunks and it's exciting and all that type of stuff.
But that only happens when there's like a for real breakaway, when the ball all of a sudden made it down to the end of the court and there's nobody there.
Breakaways!
That's it!
Somebody actually made this point about the NBA that I hadn't thought of. Back in the day before it was all shooting threes, teams had identities and they played to their player strength. And now pretty much everybody plays the same type of basketball with just the players that you have. Mm-hmm. We all playing the same game. One game don't look different from the other. What I want to say is this is why I'm happily married and I stay happily married, because I don't know if I want to say it like this, but this is how I feel. Because I have a wife to go home to, it's easier for me to say not say some stuff. First of all, outside of being married, I can't imagine talking to a girl 30 years my younger and being like, now, if you would have just had your booty out, more men would watch. And then saying, keep this part in.
Having the audacity.
And you're supposed to be her big homie. Y'all both went to LSU. Now, what I do tell my nieces is don't have your booty all out. I'll be on the Instagram story. Oh, you went to homecoming, got your booty all out. You need to cover up and practice some modesty. As an uncle, I'm the here. Well, you got your shoulders out. Oh, you went and got a tattoo. Oh, and then you feel good about yourself.
You that uncle? I'm not that.
Girl. Got your cheeks out? No, that's what I don't. I kind of let them live. But if I were to say something about cheeks out, it'd be cover that. Up. Mm-hmm. You gonna give every? I'm going big, boomer. You gonna give the cow away? Why he gonna buy the milk or whatever they say? Yeah. But I ain't gonna never tell someone 30 years younger than me. Now that's what you gotta do. I saw you on the Wildin' Out.
and you was wilding out. And if you was to dunk with your booty out, people would pay. They would not respect these women anymore.
Yeah, the men that they want to watch, or the people they want to watch, they want them to watch for their skill, not because their ass cheeks is out.
And here's the craziest thing about this, Angel. I just watched the WNBA Finals, which was wildly competitive and entertaining. Five games, all of which were close. All of which. Mm-hmm. Easily more interesting, more competitive, and better game than the NBA Finals that I just watched. Mm-hmm. The Mavs, Celtics Finals, blah. Mm-hmm. Most of the WNBA games I watched, regardless this season, many more of them were competitive and interesting in comparison to the amount of NBA games I watched. That's a fact, Jack. I don't know if it's because they have less teams, less games, but it felt like some stuff was on the line. It was some seriously competitive game. Everybody's been complaining that the NBA is completely boring during the regular season.
They play regular music during the games.
It's Josh, full song.
They do.
Yes. They introduced the Commissioner's Cup because the regular season, especially the beginning of the season, was so boring. I think they win 500K if you win. So the players are like, oh, I'm about to play for real. But they really don't start playing at all until the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. And they only play for real in the playoffs, right? So to Angel's point, if you like sports and you like, if you just like sports, the WNBA game is good. They don't be dunking, but it's still an interesting game, even without all the dunks. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The only thing I watch for dunks is the dunk competition.
And that stinks to high heaven.
Yeah.
It stinks. It hasn't been good in years.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last really good dunk competition that I really enjoyed was probably Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon, and I don't even know what year that was.
What was the magnificent dunk?
They just really was doing dunks I'd never seen before. And they're both, Aaron Gordon is super tall. Usually the best dunkers are not like the tallest guys. I think Aaron Gordon's like 6'10". But that was everybody's been like, man, the dunk competition is just terrible.
All the stuff be looking the same. They literally go from
2016. They be like this. Show them, Angel. Show them what the dunks be looking like.
They be like this. And then they're like, "Oh! Did you see that? Then the next up is it? It'd be like the slightest difference, and I'm like, how was that?
Absolutely,
something like so different. They're like, no, he whooped it all the way around.
It's just the best dunkers are professional dunkers who are not good at the NBA.
Right.
Like, I be watching some dunks on YouTube, and these niggas can't get in the NBA for whatever reason. But dunk-wise, it be the best thing you ever seen in your life.
Right.
Now, they won't belong on an NBA court. No. But I'd rather say, get the NBA players out of there and just do a showcase of the best dunkers on All-Star. Because these people be turning into Angel, it'd be the stuff you didn't even think was humanly possible.
Have you seen that one dude that can shoot like he's not a dunker, but he shoots the most impossible shots.
Lethal shooter, black
dude.
He just had a basketball on fire.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Angel, the man had a basketball on fire and the rim was on fire. He shot with nails in the rim.
Oh, I've seen that one. He shot laying on his back.
Angel, I seen him shoot from driving a car, and I'd be like, what is happening?
That is entertainment.
Shooting a basketball on fire?
Now, if he did that in booty shorts, now we're talking about a type of combination that I can understand. Not just women in booty shorts. And it's not Angel's fault that she's thick. I didn't realize that she was shaped like that. I was like, oh, okay, I would too on a regular day. Be showing off my body. But when I have to throw my body at other women and then also be accurate in how I play, I don't have time to wonder if my moose knuckle is showing, if my nipples is hard. I don't have time. That's a lot. Like, the only reason why y'all get cleavage sometimes here is because I get to sit down. I don't got to move around a lot. If I had to do a lot of moving, put me in a turtleneck because I can't be worried about that.
No, absolutely. And I just feel like as a man, like, brother, I would shrivel up and die if you had me on videotape scaring the children. The terms
I would just, if I watch that back, like, you know, you got to wear the beauty short. Like, I got to go home. If I'm 52, I want to go home to a wife who's also 52. I want to help her.
These niggas don't care about
that. I'm just speaking for Cam.
Yeah.
Cam, I ain't got no business talking to no doggone 22-year-old about nothing but show me how to work this phone. How you do the TikToks where they do the the speed up, you know, Zayna Bear's TikTok. Yeah. How you do the fast with the slow? Yes. And how you get the timing right? Zayna Bear, that's all I need to know from the children. How y'all work the TikToks with the good editing stuff?
I just need to know how to work the Snapchats. That's what I need.
Teach your uncle. Come here and sit down and show me how to work the Snapchats. How you get the filter on my face?
Little Marcus, he doesn't know for his 16th birthday, which is not for several months, he's finally going to be allowed to have social media because we don't let him have it right now other than YouTube. And the only reason why I'm like, yeah, it's time, is because I need him to teach me how to work Snapchat. Mm-hmm. I need him to have his little brain, his little youthful brain. And I mean little, meaning it's not swollen from age. Amazing, beautiful
underdeveloped
brain. Yes. Yeah. Figure this out and show your mama, because I'm tired of trying to figure it out myself.
And I know you know how to do it on the Snapchats.
Oh, yeah, because he be doing his friend's Snapchats. He's like, since I don't have an account, they let me make their snaps. I was like, as long as you don't have access to their account when you leave them. Okay, so have you all ever been manipulated, or do you think you can be manipulated out of a bad habit? Well, Scamfluencers is a weekly podcast from Wondery that takes you along the twists and turns of the most infamous scams of all time, the impact on victims, and what's left once the facade falls away. Scamfluencers recently dove into the story of Richard Bandler, the godfather of modern mental manipulation. He revolutionized the world of self-help, all thanks to an approach he developed called neuro-linguistic programming. Even though NLP worked for some, many called it pseudoscience. NLP methods have been criticized for being dangerous in the wrong hands and inspiring some of the most toxic and criminal self-help movements of the last two decades. Though in Rich's dark past as a cocaine addict and a murder suspect, and you can't help but wonder what his true intentions were. Follow Scamfluencers on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Scamfluencers and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid and Kill List early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening. But yeah, no, that's, I don't understand why old men don't realize they're nasty. They're nasty. The women that are your age sometimes even think you're disgusting. So, you know, the young girls think you're nasty. I don't understand why they don't think that yuck. Like, why don't they understand there's a yuck factor
there's
to them?
There's a yuck thing. You 52, man.
There's something yuck.
Here's my problem, Angel. And this doesn't happen to other men, apparently. Y'all be my kid's age. My niece's age, Angel Reese at 22 years old, is far closer to my 18-year-old than she is to me.
I want you to understand that I am twice that girl's age, mathematically.
You could be her. I could have, Angel Reese could be my child.
Oh, she definitely could. She is.
She
is
could
my
be
child.
Your age. She could
she
is my child. Your namesake.
Yeah.
You could have had her at 22.
Yes, I'm telling you, I'm twice 22.
You could have had that baby. So I can never, and I listen, Leonardo DiCaprio on down. I don't know how y'all girlfriends is children's. Because then also, outside of the body stuff, you wasn't around when Can We Talk came out.
No.
What are we talking about? You're a musician. We don't have the same reference for music. We can't talk about Behind the Music, MTV's Diary, when Jodeci was Drew Hill, Five Steps, Swallow You Like Reese's Pieces. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Listen.
You grew up with the whole internet. You didn't run outside all day and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and not have lunch. You don't know. I need to be nostalgic with you. What are we going to talk about when you're 30 years younger than me?
Well, no, then hopefully you're getting scammed if you're dating someone that young. That's what I hope. I'll be like, listen, I hope these young girls are at least scamming these Negroes and getting some money. Don't come back broke. Because this is just, listen, you better be getting money because I just. The things, the way the body changes, this is not to age shame because I'm old, but I can give grace to how the body changes because my body is changing.
And my metabolism is off.
It is over.
It left.
And things hurt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just, I had a phantom pain, Angel. You want to hear the stupidest thing? On my left thigh. Mm-hmm. Just pain. Not even on the kneecap. It was like the muscle, like right here. For 3 weeks.
Why are you that flexible as a man?
I'm pretty flexible.
I saw.
I do good stretches.
I feel like you could have pulled your leg.
No, I'll pull my balls off. But just phantom pain for 3 weeks, and then it just went away. Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, I'm done with this. My inside of my right ankle. 3 weeks.
You didn't go to the doctor to see what?
I'm going every week.
So that's not a phantom pain. It was a pain that was there for a reason. You just didn't find out the reason. You old nigga.
It went away.
He's like, it was a phantom pain. You have no idea.
Probably some gas. You don't be waking up with a little phantom pain. Not phantom, but like a pain where you didn't even do nothing to hurt that part of your body. It just be bothering you.
No, usually I can pinpoint what happened.
I'd be surprised.
It take me a second to figure it out. I'd be like, oh yeah, you did lift that box.
I think I just be heavy on this body all the time. Eventually, he'd be like, can you sit down for a little bit?
When we was doing them sketches for Love is Blind. And I was sitting on the countertop. I had to lift myself up, right, to get on the countertop. I got a stomach cramp. My triceps were like, I've done tricep dips, but you know, your legs are bent and your feet are on the floor. So now I'm like, no, lift all 210 of me.
I've done dipping dots. The Dairy Queen dips, where they take the ice cream and dip it in the chocolate and give it to you. Done that.
I just can't.
I interrupted 22, you too. You were about to say something.
No, what I was going to say, my brain went back. At 22, my body made sense. Everything it did, the way it looked, the way everything fell, it just looked like. I know that it does not make the same sense at 44. And at 52, okay, oh, I know boy. It's going to look even different. So I can only imagine the question she would have.
Yes.
Or any 22-year-old would have dating, looking at a man whose body looks like a retired athlete.
Angel, I made the superstar video yesterday, and I forgot to suck in.
Oh, I can't wait.
I was turned to the side. When I turn to the side, it is me. Angel, I went to edit that video, and I'd already put too much work into it.
Yeah, you couldn't go
back. I looked at that self. I said, whew.
I can't wait. Is it already up?
It's already up. It's up. Oh, I was recording in the shower. I got water all in my mouth, all in my eyes, trying to promote this thing. If this doggone algorithm would just show my flyer, I wouldn't have to do all this. But because in the video, in the shower, I'm to the side. Belly is as big as it can be.
It's just
I didn't even suck in. You know, sometimes I suck in, try to hide the truth.
Right.
I done forgot to do that because I was so focused on not drowning because this water's getting in my nose. I'm trying to sing, trying to hear the music. Belly is gone. Oh. And then I have clothes on facing forward. I'm like a different person.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm still big. I just look bigger from the side.
Oh, well, yeah, we all do. I look very pregnant. From the front, I can fool a couple of niggas. From that side, how many kids you got? How many kids you got?
When I be walking by buildings that have them big glass windows,
oh, man,
and I see myself, I be like, golly, boy, like, you bigger than all outside.
Not all outside. Wait just a minute, big. I see the vlog. Where is it? Is it on your
No, it's on my Instagrams.
It's on the Instagrams.
Yeah, look at it, Angel.
I got to see this.
Belly and Sheila. Sheila, my mama name. Angel, I was big as all outside. Butt crack was about to show. Keep going.
This one.
Yeah, look at that belly. Butt hanging over.
You look
so thin. Two different people. That belly said,
the thing is,
I can't suck in and sing.
No. You got to pull your pants.
I'm not ever doing that. That's what women do.
Yes.
Meg told me that.
Yes.
I said, we was in All Deaf one day. I said, why women's bellies don't be showing like mine? She said, we pull our pants over them.
Yes.
I said, well, I got to draw the line.
You
got to
pull it over the bottom lip. You've been doing that. You need to do this. Do you see how flat that looks?
It looks so different.
This no good. This good. You've been doing this. be letting it be under that bottom lip.
I'm convinced. Once anybody has that bottom lip, that's there forever.
It's Joshua. Easy. Listen.
There's no workout strategy, Joshua, that's gonna delete the bottom lip.
That's my biggest problem. My motivation and my memory. Knowing that over the last 3 months, what I did, because I was going pretty good for
that
like
bottom
lip's
still there,
Joshua. Had I been 27, like the last time I got in good shape, I was 27. Mm-hmm. I did what was Shanti's thing called?
Insanity.
I did Insanity. I did this eating burgers.
Insanity had the streets going crazy. Yeah.
I did Insanity was on the diet, and I looked better than I had done in years. Belly was still there. Bottom lip was little.
That's what I'm saying.
But it was still there. I've done more than that, and my metabolism was like, nigga, you could walk the whole earth every day. You could walk the entirety of the earth every day. I would have to do what Tony Baker does, and the fact that Tony Baker does all that stuff and he's not fully happy.
Action hero fit yet.
Nigga,
what's the point?
The fact that Tony don't feel comfortable with his shirt off all the time, I don't care. Let's move on. We got a lot to cover today. The next thing that was the most in the Patreon, actually, we're gonna get to Tony Hinchcliffe. This is the next thing that I found out. Nick Cannon, now I want you to listen. If you haven't heard this, I want you to listen to this without it being framed. He was talking about why him and Mariah broke up. I want you to listen to this.
I'm telling you.
That was Shaq. Hold on. Here's Nick Cannon. It's only a minute 30.
You know what I mean? To the biggest star in the world. My trajectory was here, and then hers, she's already in a different stratosphere. I would lay up at night thinking like, Is this who I am? Am I Mariah's man?
Yeah.
Is that what my life is supposed to be? There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm like, this ain't the
different version of yourself.
And then when you have children, your man shit is like, wait, I can't. I'm carrying the purse, the diaper bag, you know. Yeah. I'm standing on the corner, she rocking being all the alpha that
she is. Well, by the way, she deserves it.
Yeah. I believe she needs a dude like that.
Yeah.
I'm just not that dude. Her and I never had problems.
Yeah.
Never argued, never, even with me struggling in this space, she's so understanding and so evolved and lives in her own world. That's the thing, when someone has their own world and you got to be a participant in that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a main character. It was like muscle atrophy. I'm not being the dude that God put me on this earth to be. The love kept me there. Even, you know, made it work so well because I was like, oh, you need somebody. You need a support system. You need somebody that don't want you for your money. You need somebody that's sincere. You need somebody that's willing to build a family, raise some, you know, amazing kids together. And that was my goal. Mm. But then there was just something constantly in me like,
the man.
Angel, as a black woman, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
You know, well, this is probably why there's so many power couples out there, is because men be feeling too insecure if they aren't considered a piece of the power in the couple.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all were trying to figure out why Mariah got with Nick, not because, well, probably some of those things, which are the insecurities that he's also verbalizing, but also because he was super duper young.
And yeah, he was 20 something, right? And she was 40.
Yeah. There was a huge age gap. So we were also like, well, what the hell is he offering her? But I do think it's very strange to feel like you can't be who you're supposed to be if that person is not stopping you from being who you're supposed to be. He's saying just existing in that relationship, he could not be all that he felt like Nick Cannon was supposed to be, which is insane to me because we never see this on the flip side. If there is a guy who is super duper 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 successful and very alpha, you don't see women saying, and I felt too insecure to be all I could be because I would never reach the heights that they were at.
Do you think that's because we're socialized that the men need to be the provider and women need to be the homemakers?
Absolutely. And I think provision is always seen as being the breadwinner.
Yes.
And the fact of the matter is, unless you are very strategic in how you date, that is not up for, like, it's usually not up for chance. So that means you're saying I can only date the, and this seems very true with all the rest of the women that he has made children with. Yeah. I can only date people whose income potential, meaning what they do for a living and the likelihood of what they'll make, is less than mine.
Yes.
That just seems so stupid. Let me tell you, my husband will blatantly say, I always wanted to find a woman who had earning potential higher than mine.
Did he really say that?
Yes. Especially because Marcus knew, I probably somewhere in high school, that he was going to go into the trades. He was
He know that he knows where the income's going to go with that. Right, I mean, they're going to make some bread. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely. But he's like, but I want a woman who will make more bread than whatever my highest earning potential
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. We talked about this before. That electric nigga got bread.
Oh, yeah. We have a friend who still works in the electric, and he making real nice. The first number is not a one.
Anytime a person can charge you I don't care prices, right? if it's the middle of summer and your AC is out, fix it.
Yeah.
Plumber, electrician, if you got doodoo coming up the toilet, hey, man, it's $7.50 a toilet. Angel, I had a toilet problem in my own house. First of all, let me just pause and say this, and we're going to get back to this Nick Cannon thing. Plumbers?
Oh.
Boy, that, because when you don't know, but you got to get it fixed. I had a toilet problem in my old house. Mm-hmm. Angel, it was, and I found out it was down the line. Yeah. There was an issue down the line.
Always
down the line. Mm-hmm. That man had to put a camera down the line. He came up and talked to me first. He said, listen, he tried to fix a toilet a couple times, and I got to pay every time.
Oh, yeah.
You got to pay the diagnostic. He would fix it, but it would never be fixed fully. And like 10 days, it would mess up again. I'm not a plumbing man, mm-hmm. but I'd be filling that toilet up. I know that.
Yeah.
So he said, listen, man, I'm going to have to put the camera down there. Because otherwise, I can keep coming out here every 2 weeks.
And it's not the iPhone either.
And it ain't the iPhone. So when he told me the camera price, I said, gulp.
Gulp.
I said, gulp.
And someone's got to pay for the camera.
Josh, somebody my whole point it. Is that plumbing man, he was happy to see me.
Oh, yeah.
I was giving that plumbing man that bread because he's dealing with stuff.
And you talking about residential. The friend I'm talking about, he works. Oh. I'm talking about the power that gets to the city.
Oh, dang.
The big power.
You've been Franklin.
The how is anybody going to see? You talking about little problems up in here. We're talking about your life is in danger by having this job.
Yes.
So we're going to pay you as if your life is in danger.
Because when the city's off, we got it. It's big. I don't care prices.
Yes.
Get out there and turn it on, man. What's the price? I don't care.
You know when these hurricanes come?
Listen.
And they knock out everything?
City. Josh, no traveling nurse?
Listen.
We need y'all. What's the price? We need you. Mm-hmm. I'm on my way.
But I say all this to say that I do think it takes a man who is a little more. This is going to sound like shade, but I don't know how else to say it. A little more evolved to not stay stuck there. I can understand having a little bit of a. Not feeling aligned at first because we are conditioned to feel as though if the dude and you even hear women also repeating the same verbiage. If he can't take care of this, if he can't take care of this, ain't no 50-50 over here. You have to take care of all these things.
Sure.
Right. So I can understand it taking a moment to adjust to, okay, so where does my value come in this relationship if you do not need me financially?
1,000%.
But if that is all your relationship is based off of, I don't really understand how it's going to last anyway.
I think I couldn't agree with you more, Angel, Lakita, more Tanksley, the actress.
The actress.
I think as a black man, right, say I wasn't married to Melissa and say I wasn't Kev on stage. I'm just a working man. The chance that the woman of my age, same age, makes more money than me is very high.
Yeah.
Just the likelihood, because black women, they out-earn black men. That's just quantifiable fact. By and large, they are more educated. They go further in school. They obtain more degrees. Very few of my homeboys ever hit the group chat like, nigga, I'm finna go get my second master's. My homegirls in my chat, second master's McGee.
Yeah.
Angel got two master's. Melissa's baby sister got a master's. My Sharice, my homegirls in school, getting another degree. Sorry, I mean, them niggas should own a deodorant factory because they got degrees, degree, degree.
Funny.
I mean, these niggas just be having, go, oh, who else but black women get bored and be like, I'm finna go back to school.
Yes, that's
I'm finna
exactly.
take up the church learning. When I get bored, FIFA.
let me
watch a YouTube video. Not let me go take up the church learning. Let me go back to school. So anyway, and in my actual life, right, Melissa made more money than me.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Until I went on tour. And I can't even say I made more money than her. Like, our company now generated income, right? And she was on tour with me. But we both worked at Boeing. We both worked at the bank.
Yeah.
I was a personal banker. She was in the management trainee program. She made more. Amen.
The money.
When she we both worked at Boeing, she was in the defense. She had security clearance. Oh. Defense part, she had security clearance because them planes she made had missiles on them.
I was
cleared to come in and do my job and take my butt home.
They said, sit down. You can't come back here.
You can't come back here. Also, quick fun fact, the P-9 is the Navy plane made by Boeing. It's just a 737 with missiles on it. Same plane that they make at Southwest.
Really? That's a big ass plane.
Same frame?
Same plane. Same frame. But at one point, it leaves the factory. Goes to a defense site.
The
Navy P-9 is that big.
Boeing doesn't put the missiles on?
Oh, no. Well, not at that plant. The Boeing defense part. Boeing defense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's certain security clearance. But that missile system, y'all don't get to see that.
Are the C-130s Boeing too?
C-130, big Boeing. That's the plane.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the idea that a Southwest plane can have missiles on it, somebody at Boeing was like, what if you want to get away?
Hear me out.
You want to get away forever?
Rolls-Royce engines.
What if we put missiles on this bad boy, huh?
That just seems so big.
That thing can fly 9 hours. Drop the missiles. Come on, back.
And drop you off and pick you up in Vegas and go and murder somebody across the world.
I just watched a video about
this. This is not a secret, Dwayne. You can Google this. That's Googleable.
This is the view of you watching an air show, right?
Yeah.
This is the view of the pilot. Let me show you how close these planes look from the pilot's perspective. You a plane.
Really?
Like that close, Kevin. Like you, if you do that too much, you gonna die.
The fighter jets?
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
They were colorful. Yeah, I think they were fire jets that were just painted that. But they, that's one plane. You a plane, here's a plane, then the other plane.
Oh,
the
when they're flying, you saw the Blue Angels.
The other plane.
You saw the Blue Angels.
Their information.
Yes.
Like Beyonce.
I said, no, scoot over.
Scoot over!
They overlap in the air.
Yes! It's so cool.
That stuff's so cool for me.
Yeah, it is.
That's my...
what if you sneeze?
That's my Roman Empire.
Is it? Fighter planes? Now, as a man, I can tell you, societally... When I got fired, I felt probably more pressure. Like I felt like I wasn't achieving my full responsibility as a man.
I can understand
But by the grace of God, I did not extend that to Melissa and be like, well, now I've got to get out of this relationship, right? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, shoot, I ain't got no job. Mm-hmm. Get these babies out of daycare. I'm cooking. I'm cleaning. I ain't making what Melissa make, but I put that crock pot to work.
Put the headband on.
Put that headband on. And one time it hurt me. And this is the true story. I had made her a lunch. And I had made the boys a lunch. I think Zay was going to school. I made his lunch, made her lunch. And she was leaving out work. Because at this time, I remember the first time I got fired, she slept past. The first day I got fired.
I was about to say, Kevin, first day how I got many
fired.
Times?
I don't even fire once. First day I got fired, I, for whatever reason, woke up after her. And she ain't say nothing, but I felt something. Mm-hmm. I said, I cannot be getting up second. Mm-hmm. I got to get up. She should smell bacon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Toast. Mm-hmm. So this particular day, I had made Isaiah lunch, and I made her lunch, and she was walking out, and I was about to walk Isaiah to school. And she took the lunch, and she gave me a kiss, and I felt like she kissed me on the forehead and did this. Even though she didn't. Mm-hmm. Felt like she's going to be like, all right, honey, I'll be home from the office. Felt like she had a briefcase. Mm-hmm. She didn't. Felt Don Draper, like, have a good day at war. I'll be back home. You know, we're working together. And I said, Kev, you got to do something. Because that was my own internal feeling. What Nick Cannon did is he took that to great heights. And that's
I gotta leave you.
I gotta leave you because I mean that's a crazy thing, like to have no other issues from his point of view.
What he said. They had no issues at all.
He just said, as a man, I couldn't reconcile that. And what makes it worse, you said this. Excuse me.
All right.
Sorry. What makes it worse is who he then procreated with kind of tells the story for you. What he did after is like, oh, so that's what you wanted. Like, it takes you you got to be a secure man to be with a woman who makes much more than you. And then on top of that, we're not even talking about, like, you're an electrician and you're an actress. You're talking about you're pretty, even at 27, Nick Cannon's pretty much always been a successful person in the industry.
Yeah.
And he earns very well.
He works hard.
He works hard. He's on, he's you know, Black Ryan Seacrest. He got a lot of shows and all that. But when you're married to Mariah Carey, she's on Celine Dion, Bono, you know.
I'm sure it's the same thing that Bobby Brown felt when he was with Whitney Houston.
And it's a great point because he was a star in his own right.
Very much
but
so.
But Whitney Houston is the voice. Bobby Brown didn't have a moniker. Like, Whitney can go by Whitney. If I go Whitney, we talking about singer. I don't got to say Whitney Houston. If I say Whitney, you know what I'm talking about. And Don't Be Cruel sold crazy.
Yes.
Bobby Brown had
superstar. He was not Whitney. Mm-mm. But they for the time that they were together. I don't think that they divorced because he was insecure.
I don't think that was the reason. Yeah.
But I will say that... I can empathize with how it might have been an adjustment. But if you're saying she did not use her success and her fame to belittle him as a man, but your problem was that you were holding her bags, then give it to her assistant, because I know she has one. You know what I'm saying? Then don't hold a bag. If you don't want to hold the purse... Give it to her assistant.
You can't feed the baby. They don't have the baby.
Correct.
But I can see how Mariah doesn't have to say anything. Your own feelings about yourself and the way you're raised and the way the world sees men, I can see you being like, nigga, what am I doing? I don't know that. Actually, it's hard to put myself in those shoes. Cause like, if I'm killing it, right. But Melissa was just, you know, say she created Spanx and I'm still who I am, but Spanx is a $1 billion corporation. Say Melissa Carey created that. Nah, because honestly, nigga, if you created Spanx, then my Patreon finna go crazy. Cause like, I can't see a world where this harms me.
Right.
Like, I feel like we both lived it. I could see myself feeling away and feel like I gotta do something. I gotta be better. I gotta be more of a man, but I can't see myself doing that and then being like, now I'm out of that relationship with the woman who created Spanx. Now let me have 10, 12 children with 7 women. I don't see myself being like, this is a better option for me, Kevin.
Yeah.
Nick can make his own choices. It's his peen. With my peen, I'd be like, me and Mariah, going back like babies and pals. It's about to be Christmas again, nigga. Finna get a couple more million for something she wrote, 20 years ago? She wrote a new Christmas song.
Friday, that song's going to start going crazy.
Josh, who wrote a new Christmas song that's been in the zeitgeist like that? People make Christmas music all the time, mostly because it's public domain and it gets another album in their record deal. Yeah. But who's made a Christmas song that's new that gets sung every year?
What's the point?
A new Christmas song?
That's it.
That song's so good, I didn't even know she wrote it for many years. I thought it was just a remake. Like, dang, I didn't know that song. That's... just one of the things she does.
I think there's a difference when you have struggled together as a couple.
1,000%.
I think then there is a lot of ego is easy to push to the side because you're like, you know what? I'm okay with you making this much money because I don't want to go back to where we were.
And that's listen, you talking good right there, Angel.
Okay. And that might be why Marcus is like, that's fine. You got another brand deal? Go on ahead.
Angel.
Yeah, I would love a brand deal. But if you got it, you get it.
I agree with you. That's a beauty of a long-term relationship. Me and Melissa have the history of driving to Portland because they had no sales tax and we still didn't have money, we just would be like, ooh, if we could get this, it would only be 99. And in our house in Reseda, we had bees inside the house. Somehow there was, Josh, a beehive was in our closet.
Oh, wow.
So you would just open the closet sometime, and a beehive had gotten in the chimney. And, you know, animal control stuff was beyond our ability. Yeah. So we just had bees sometimes. They would come through the house, out the light fixture. Remember, the boys would be like, this house has a lot of nature. Spiders.
Y'all living in a treehouse.
So when you go from bees to Calabasas, you don't forget that you had bees.
Oh, oh no. Yeah. Absolutely
you don't forget not. When we had, you know, everybody in that family. Listen, when we in our first house in Washington, we was full of grown adults. There's rubber duckies in this tub when I take a shower, too. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take the kids' toys out every time. I'm going to put them along the side. Their toys is just in here, okay? I don't have time.
Listen.
We got toys in there. We only got one shower in this house. There's going to be some Transformers men's in there. Yes, I stepped on one in the shower. I was frustrated, but I don't have time to take it out every time.
There's going
to
be a whale shape over the nozzle.
Well, of course.
Right.
Of course. There's going to be the little net. We got good. We got the little net. Now put the toys in there and don't have them all on
the water comes out, there might be the spinning wheel. Just let it.
Just hush, man. We got one tub in this house. One.
This is what's a blessing. Little Marcus remembers our first house. The twins don't. Little Marcus said, I remember the sunroom. The sunroom is what we actually call the weather room because whatever weather was outside came into that room. My husband tried to build
room in Reseda too, but it didn't have. They built that extra room, and they didn't extend the central air or heat over there.
Oh,
so what, if it's freezing, it's frozen.
Oh, man. Well, ours. My husband, because we do have a rainy season here. These niggas lied in the song.
They sure did.
He tried to build aqueducts. Okay, take it back. Take it back to your social studies class, so that the water would run off of the roof of the sunroom onto.
Yeah, yeah.
We are laying down, and we slowly but surely hear the aqueducts falling through the ceiling.
Just a pool of water up there.
Oh my God!
I said it's not. It didn't work. He put shut up.
He put reservoirs up there. There was nothing moving.
Nothing.
I don't think I knew a person who built aqueducts in my life.
There's a reason.
He was trying. There's a reason, Kevin. To say that there was one time he was trying to tar the top of it to get it. For the water to stop coming in, because the water would come in. And I come into the house, Marcus. And I can see the ceiling of the sunroom. It looks like Marcus is jumping. He's just walking. That's how much it's giving underneath the weight of his body.
Oh my God.
Marcus, what are you doing? He's like, I'm up here cleaning. I said, it's going to fall. The whole roof is going to fall. That's why it was a weather room. Whatever was out there was in here.
And when y'all get y'all your bigger houses, your mind don't forget.
I surely won't.
You appreciate that.
Absolutely.
But I do agree that your mind as a man, it could get in there. Mm-hmm. But you got to have the strength. Especially now, if the woman is rubbing it in your face, okay.
Yeah, that's different.
That's different. That wasn't my testimony with Melissa, by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. She never even said, I told you so, you ain't got no job. Like, that would have destroyed my total character. And Nick Cannon said, Mariah didn't do that. So here's the truth. Now, here's a good point that you can take out of this Nick Cannon thing. Sometimes in relationship stuff, you really got to do your own work.
Yeah.
Because you can sabotage something good just because you're not willing to deal with your internal turmoil, your childhood stuff, whatever. A lot of times, this is one of the things I learned in therapy more than anything that I kept with me, is a lot of how I was raised, inner child stuff, all that trauma, whatever it is. It manifests in all the different ways in who you are. Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous to have it manifesting. You don't even know that's the source.
Yeah.
You'd be trying to fix something from your childhood. Your parents did this. You know, Ricky Bobby is a funny example, but you know, if you're not first, you're last. Like,
he's like, they're second.
I was high when I said that. You could be second, third. Hell, you could be fourth, fifth. But, you know, but that's how it be. For instance, my dad asked him for $200 when I told this story a million times. Y'all hush. My first apartment rent, I was short $200, and he gave it to me. He said, I ain't never going to be able to give this to you again. He didn't say it like that, but in my memory, that's how his voice was.
That's how he always...
I ain't never going to be able to give you this again.
He said that about the dog, and he doesn't talk like that anymore either.
He doesn't talk like that at all. And the world only cares about you as much as you pay your bills on time. And then he flicked a cigar in my eye.
Oh.
And in my mind, I literally have never asked for help. I did ask Melissa's dad for one time to help me with, for her birthday. That was a birthday gift. Mm-hmm. But I never was like, help me with my rent. I'm going to figure it out. But that wasn't from like malice. My dad really didn't have it. He was just like, nigga, I can't help you. So anyway, all right. We got a new ad.
No, we only had one today. We're broke. Oh,
we're poor again?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Which doesn't make any damn sense.
Which is it's listen, the heat we, of holiday
season. We thank God
season.
For Patreon because it ain't.
Praise God. I know because.
Yes, we do. Amen.
Based off of is this going to cause an argument,
the
I
onset.
Usually think, oh, so HTT, we be having 5 and 4 ads.
I'm going to tell you what it is. Here's the negative part about having an older podcast. We have run through them companies. I know. And eventually the ads wear off.
Your audience has heard them.
There's no new audience to hear Noom.clash. So sometimes, like, it's interesting, the Ball Brothers podcast or Gin and Juice, they get new ads that, here's the thing, Ben ran.
Yeah.
Noom.com, Noom.slash, that's over with.
That's over. They're not coming
but
back.
But the Ball Brothers new podcast, The Thing Here.
Right.
Yeah, there we go.
Seriously.
That's what we need to do.
Because that's what happens. Like, the ad salespeople, they'd be like, bro, y'all don't have it. Man, we've done a lot of them in 4 years. So, you know, and then what would help us is because our podcast would get a lot of views, what we did get in ads would be more. And then the podcast people said, we're also not doing that.
Yeah,
so we said,
bring it down.
Hey, Patreon, y'all want this to keep going
come over
or
here
not? That's,
please,
you know.
Stick with us.
But anyway, because you're right. It's holiday season. This was you.
I should have been reading ads like crazy today.
We should have had a pre-roll and 4 ads.
Yeah.
Every from usually mid-October through New Year's, you gonna cash out. To have one is nothing. But anyway, moving on. Big political issue.
Yuck.
Tony Hinchcliffe, who is a comedian.
Roast comic.
Hinchcliffe.
Hinchcliffe.
That sounds like something they used to do to black people when they called them outside at night.
He inadvertently helped start the roast culture all deaf, though.
He absolutely did. I worked with him on a roast video very early in the company's history. We were at Culver City when Josh was my intern, but he wouldn't get my lunch.
Never.
During that time period. So he was a speaker at a Trump rally in Madison Square Garden. And he had a litany of roast type jokes at a place that's not a roast. One of which was a black people watermelon joke, which I don't even, it wasn't really a joke. He was just the black guy over there cutting watermelon. There was no punchline or setup. It was just like trope. He had a whole bunch of Israel. He had some jokes about Israel, Palestine. But the joke that has the most, that caused the most, bless you.
Bless you.
Come back later.
Bless you.
He had a cat dog. A cat joke. But the joke that caused the most shockwaves was his joke about Puerto Rico. And I use the term joke loosely because I didn't hear a joke. He said we just had a
pile of trash floating in the middle of
the ocean, or as people call it, Puerto Rico. I mean, I guess that was a joke.
Even in a comedy club setting, I don't know if that would even come off the way he would assume it does.
Well, listen, this is not a biased feeling. That joke fell flat to the target demo bombed. Of racist jokes, racially charged joke. You as a comedian, you would not listen to that if I was a sayer of that joke and say, oh, I got a good laugh there. So to have jokes falling flat in front of the like target demo, that's like me bombing out of church, making church jokes. Like I would be like, dang, this is unusual for me. Like this is church jokes. Anyway. This joke has caused quite the uproar. The Trump campaign was like, we're distancing ourselves from that. Which anytime your joke has national political implications, I'd feel sweaty. Mm-hmm. Like I gotta do good if the campaign that I was speaking for distanced themselves from my joke and the opposite campaign used my joke in the rally, obviously I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
If at least the people I'm on speaking from are not with me, mm-hmm. I am kind of caught in purgatory. Lin-Manuel Miranda came out against him, Bad Bunny, Ricky Martin. Lin-Manuel Miranda said something that I thought was really smart.
What did he say?
Not smart, but really
profound.
Profound. Impactful. Impactful is probably a better word. He said the thing about that joke is specifically about Puerto Rico, you can't tell me Trump doesn't feel that way. Because when we had that hurricane, Trump, that's the time Trump threw those paper towels out. It was during the aftermath of the hurricane in Puerto Rico. Trump said, this is on, you know, on tape. Mm-hmm. Trump was like, these people, they're begging for everything. I'm paraphrasing, but they're begging for everything. They're lazy. They want handouts. This is an American sitting president talking about an American territory.
That's the part that I'm like.
People in Puerto Rico are American citizens.
It is a U.S. territory. It is a part of us.
It's a part of the United States. We're not talking about some island just in the Pacific or the Atlantic.
Right.
We're talking about a territory of the United States. But at the same time, Trump was talking about Detroit like Detroit wasn't in America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In Detroit.
The fact that the city of, well, I don't know who, but
they, but the they Twitter out, account, yeah.
They're like, we want to make a whole ad of how we don't like this man.
The president talking about the country he's supposed to serve. Like, this is why I be saying, outside of Trump, you didn't see even Republican presidents talking about America like this.
No.
Baby Bush. And I don't know if they would have, but I doubt McCain, Romney, Daddy Bush, that's the unusual part. I do miss the time when the presidential campaign ended and you didn't think about the president for a while after that.
I miss the time when I thought I couldn't run for president.
You couldn't?
Yes. There was a point in time in my life where I was like, there's no way I could ever run for president. Because that you had to come from a certain type of family.
Yeah.
You had to have a certain type of education. There had to be certain qualifications that were above what's just on the paper.
Yes.
That says you got to be 35. And now I feel like put anybody's name in there. Let's see what happens.
You, and I've said this before and I'll say this again. Howard Dean's campaign ended because he got too excited at a rally and went, hey, we're going to go to D.C. and Washington. Hey! They were like,
nope,
you're done.
That's it. You embarrassed.
You got to have rolled up sleeve. Pack it up. What's wrong with you? You think that's presidential? Woo! Trump has felonies. Convicted.
His sentencing is next month or the month after?
I think they pushed it back after the election because, you know, he conveniently. Got run. Conveniently.
Well, because if he wins, then he can't, then he don't go nowhere.
Oh, no. He gets presidential immunity?
That immunity is going to go crazy.
Who am I pardoning? Me. So we went from, to convictions, and you're still on the campaign trail.
Grab him by the coochie.
That was the moment. When that didn't end him,
should have been like, oh, I said, okay, oh, this times is, have changed.
I literally was like, that was a fatal blow.
Mm-hmm.
In years past, that was fatal blow to your campaign. He has gotten so many fatal blows that have not been fatal blows at all. Fatal. If this is a video game, you'd be like, nigga, this game is cheating. He should have been gone.
Yeah.
I done did everything you're supposed to do to defeat this boss.
Mm-mm.
What are you talking about?
He switched out the little weapon and turned it like it's now whiteness. Like he is using that. Me and Marcus talked about this yesterday on our podcast. I used this analogy because I said, I'm tired of it. You know, I'm tired of pretending as if I don't think about Trump voters a certain way. I do. I question your intelligence.
Yeah.
I question your integrity. I question your beliefs. I question how you look at other people that are not like you.
Okay? Yeah.
I was like, but the reason why I question intelligence, I'm going to be very specific. It's not like blanketed, like I'm just looking at you like, there are reasons. And nobody has told me a reason that makes sense to me of why their trust is in this man, right? Yeah. But specifically when people are like, well, the economy was better when he was in office. Man. This is where I said, I've been thinking of an analogy and I finally figured it out. People don't realize that we're currently sitting in the aftermath of Trump's Trump's presidency. It's like if someone were to go inside of a house that they've never been inside of
yes.
before, and that house was sparkling clean.
Yes.
You don't, the person who just walked in the house does not get to take credit for that house being clean.
Correct.
It was the person who was in there before them
yes.
that cleaned the house. Same difference if somebody walks into a house that's dirty as hell and they've never been in that house before.
Yes.
They shouldn't take the blame for the house being dirty.
Yes.
The person who was in the house before them that made the house dirty. And the fact of the matter is people understand it when it comes to abortion rights. They realize that Biden, who is president, when abortion became illegal in some states,
yep.
was during his presidency. But they know it wasn't his fault. They right. realize it was because of the president before him
yes.
placing three Supreme Court judges that are Republican. So I'm like, if y'all can understand that in the sense of we now have a very different landscape when it comes to women's rights to their bodies, how come you don't understand that in all of the other facets that we're trying to undo?
Yes.
To me, that makes me go, your intelligence is questionable to me if you keep saying that.
I think, couldn't agree with you more. Love the analogy. I think people don't understand how politics works, how the aftermath of presidents' policies work. It's like Trump went into the bathroom, blew it up, walked out. Biden went in there to wash his hands, came right out, and somebody came in and was like, dang, you stink. I just washed my hands. No. You stink because you're the person coming out of the bathroom. Obviously, you did it. No. Somebody blew it up. They were in there for 30 minutes. That's how the economy is. Somebody blew the bathroom up. And the funny thing is Trump was the president before, right? Inherited the good economy from the previous president, right?
The clean house, right?
Didn't took credit for it, and then put his own stuff in, blew the bathroom up, and left. And now it's coming back to the bathroom he blew up, and it's like, whoo! Somebody blew that bathroom up. Must have been Biden. I just washed my hands. You know you blew it up. Nah, man, that's crazy. Why y'all let him blow the bathroom up? Look how much worse you are under Biden than me. Nigga, you doo-doo.
He didn't just blow the bathroom up. He shot the people in the stall beside him. So we got all these dead bodies in the bathroom, too, and everybody's miraculously forgetting that there's all these dead bodies. People died who had never died before. Ain't that what he said?
People died who had never died before.
I can understand someone saying that Kamala is not their pick because of certain things they don't agree with. But to then out of your mouth say that Trump is the better candidate, does it?
I saw TikTok and they made this analogy. They said they're going to the bathroom and they picked up some cereal. I mean, the pantry. They're like, I'm hungry. I'm going to get some cereal. And they pulled up like grape nuts. I'm like, oh, I'm starving, but I don't really like grape nuts. My other option is bleach. Ugh. Really don't like grape nuts though. And the person's like, but your other option is bleach. She's like, yeah, but I really don't like grape nuts. And oh, they got extra fiber. I hate fiber. Understood. But your other option is bleach.
No, then some people say I won't eat it all.
Some people say I won't eat it
all. Well, then you're going to be hungry. That's what the fuck you're going to be. Because I'm about to eat these goddamn grape nuts. I'm going to eat them up. And you better hope the bleach people don't drink up all the bleach first before we eat the grape nuts.
My question is this. So apparently there's a large Puerto Rican population in like Pennsylvania, which I didn't know about that. I haven't spent much time in Pennsylvania outside of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And there's a large population in Florida, which I could see. There's a large Hispanic population, all kinds of Hispanics in Florida. So
thanks.
Big Latinx. There was this thought so there was this question somebody said on Twitter was like, all these people who are coming out, were they voting for Trump before? And then this like turned them? Because Latinx people, you think that this one joke is like, okay, he tripping.
Yeah, I think a lot of Latinx were Trump voters. Truly, honestly do. And it's because... You would think that wouldn't be the case with his rhetoric about the wall.
Yes.
And all of that.
Mass deportations.
Yes, but I do think people in it's almost like a the flying under the radar, but I do think there are a lot of Republican Latinx people mm-hmm. that are quiet about it, but are very much so on a more conservative route. And I honestly think a part of that is almost every race other than Black, if they can figure out a way to assimilate and to not be othered, they will take that route. Mm-hmm. I feel like
Since the beginning of time.
Yeah, I feel like I see it a lot with Asian cultures. And this is not, I don't mean it as a blanket statement that every Asian person
for sure
is conservative.
We're going to understand the nuance here. We're going to have a discussion.
But I feel like I've noticed that more and more is that there are a lot of conservative leaning Latino people, Asian people, Indian people, mm-hmm. because they're like, if we
can. And Black church people.
Oh, well, they've always, but that's just because they don't believe in the gays or the abortion. It's not because they know anything else.
You talk about, I literally, when I was younger, I said, I don't know what my pastors are going to do if both all the candidates, right? Let's say the Republican and the Democratic and even the third party, if they are all for gay rights and abortions, them folks are going to be like, I can't vote.
They're not voting. They're just going to pray on election
praying for the leader, because that's my thing.
No, they're not going to pray for the leader. They're going to pray for Jesus to come back and take us now, because we're in Sodom and Gomorrah. What are you talking about? Pray for the leader. There is no leader anymore,
God. Pray for God. Salvation. Obviously, we're Sodom. Big Sod.
Big Sod.
Big Sod. Big Gomorrah. And not the one from Guardians of the Galaxy. The other one.
The other ones. You know what I'm talking about. They're not going to be going to the election if that's the case. And so it's not about proximity to whiteness for them. It is truly about the brainwashing of our own religion and what that means in relation to politics. So I am glad that there was some more realness about what a lot of this new face of this party, of the Republican Party, really thinks.
Yeah.
So that hopefully it shakes some of those people awake to be like, you know, they don't care about you. It does not. They do not care. And I'm not going to even try to tell you that the Dems care about you, but it's not going to be as bad. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. It's not going to be as bad. But yeah, it's that, what's his name? Tony Lynch, nigga. What's his name?
Tony Hinchcliffe.
That's what it sounds like, something they do to Black people that's not good.
And you know the craziest thing about this for Tony Hinchcliffe?
Ooh, every time you say it, I should feel like you should say trigger warning.
Read it up.
Worse.
This is the best for a white comic.
Oh, yeah.
Who's cancel me, who's drawn the ire of the left. He finna go to Austin and be bigger than ever. He is going. It is the biggest paycheck bump you can get as a white male comic, is to get canceled. And on this scale, he gonna go to Austin at the Comedy Mothership. He could sell tickets for $1,000 per 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he killed Tony podcast through the roof. For people who love that.
Oh, he's the one that, he's killed Tony.
He's killed Tony. He's finna get breaded up, right? Yeah, I know he already lives in Austin, but I'm talking about his shows there. Mm-hmm. Tony Hinchcliffe might now be able to sell out Madison Square Garden mm-hmm. when he comes back. He might be able to go to Dodger Stadium. It's going to be empty because the World Series is going to be over. The way it's going now. Big shout to Freddie Freeman, this nigga.
Oh, he's having
this. With Shohei and Mookie, Freddie Freeman was like, it's Shohei. My time.
Shohei, you should just take the week off.
Is Tony gay?
I don't know.
Oh, somebody said he's gay under the Joe Rogan umbrella, so I was just asking. I thought maybe he was an out homosexual, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to win.
So many jokes that people throw at them, I don't know if it's true representative of them.
Might not be. He might just have made jokes about it.
Okay. He already sold out back-to-back.
Of course he has.
Yes, he is. Oh, I don't know.
Madison Square Garden. So whatever the next biggest venue is. MetLife. Like, you can't get a bigger cosign as a comic in that circle than to get canceled. Mm-hmm. Andrew Schultz had a...
That's this whole thing.
Canceled something. Somebody canceled his special taping at wherever he was after the Trump interview. He sold out the next place in 4 hours. Then people will dig it in their wallets. As a Black person, you get canceled, you are canceled. If the Black community don't rock with you, ain't nobody coming to save you, man. And here's the thing I want to say. here's the thing I want to say as a comic. Comedians, this whole comedy is dead because you can't say nothing. First of all, people have said that since the beginning of time. I saw this clip that was like newspaper articles from beginning of time. Every generation says you can't say that. Comedians exist in the society that they live in.
Correct.
Our job is to find the line, mm-hmm. get as close to it without crossing it. Mm-hmm. Our job isn't just to say whatever. Exactly. Like, you can't just say blatantly crazy stuff, right? A good comedian mm-hmm. is supposed to craft jokes that make people be like, oh my God, that's hilarious. That's so funny. I can't believe he got away with it. Can't believe she got away with it. That's wild. Jess Niche has a joke about having sex to Kirk Franklin music that is so doggone funny because it's a well-crafted joke. You can't just come out and say things yeah. if you're good at your job. To me, a lot of comedians are lazy. They don't want to do the work of finding the line, seeing where it is. And a lot of comedians, they want to do this thing where all I say is outlandish stuff, but it's not really no God joke attached. Dog. My head was up under there.
Ooh. It was so distracted. Oh my God.
I get it with the cowboy hat. With
no,
the
bandana. It just the fact that it all connected. And this is not your head is big. It just.
No, there was more meat up under there.
No, it's just you look like a different person.
There
to
was
me
extra
right
fries
now.
In the bag. But no, ahead. I think a lot of comedians are just lazy. They don't uh-huh. want to, you don't want to do the work. Uh-huh. You don't want to have to realize that a joke that you used to kill with, you can't tell no more.
Also, yeah. there's observational comedy, but yeah. then there's lazy observational comedy. Like, I feel like this is the lowest of hanging fruit you can possibly
Josh, have. In the comedian's world, we call these hacky jokes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like a black person cutting watermelon, that's not even, that's just like,
yeah,
that's hacky, that's low hanging fruit. That's not even, you can have funny racist jokes
uh-huh.
that are like, whoo, that's racist, but that's funny. But you can't just be racist and not be at least funny. Yeah. There's so many things you can get away with if it is funny.
Yeah, I don't, and I, for this rally, he wasn't as clever. It was very no. much so simple, easy, nothing really that's going to shock people in a way, shock them. And it'd be funny. It was just shock.
Yes.
More just than shock and funny.
Not shock humor. Just yeah. just shock.
Yeah.
So and the thing is when I saw that, I said, oh my God, this man finna make so much money.
Oh,
because
yeah.
all you have to do is lean into
it's the
that.
Gimmick. It's the gimmick
you,
of
you get Josh, you I have seen comedians who were not right wing leaning Joe Rogan type people who found that if I go into that arena and say the stuff that people want to hear, I will make more money than I ever did actually doing good comedy. There's comedians that have went from being good creative comics to just Joe Rogan circle comics and to those audiences. Mm-hmm. Killing. But at the end of the day, oh, go ahead.
No, I was about to say, and this is my thing. It's not that I knock you for being like, I want to see how close to the edge I can go because yeah. it.
Because sometimes you got to mess up to know where the line is.
Right. And also you're making your box even smaller. So then you got to really be like, how can I make this thing that is so close to the edge that it might be over the line?
Yep. But
so I can get deciding I want to try to tackle this, but some of them aren't tackling it. They're like, it's fine. I'll yes. just get canceled and I'll make more money.
It's the best thing ever for them. Shane Gillis, we talked about this. I had never heard of Shane. I'm not saying he was big or small. I had never heard of him until he got and lost Saturday Night Live because of a racist joke that resurfaced. His career since that moment has blown up.
I mean, and they're also white guys, so yeah. And white guys feel like they're in the minority right now. They feel like people are punching down on them.
And that's what Trump speaks to more than anything. Yeah. You've said this before on a myriad of occasions. So I'll say myriad.
I like that.
He speaks the inner thoughts of people who are in the audience. And a lot of times what they don't feel comfortable saying in public, he says it freely. Mm-hmm. And they're like, whew, that feels great.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the truth. White men... Because the world for the majority of America was built for you to succeed.
Yeah.
And as we've evolved as a society, people are like, all right, y'all got everything. We're not even gonna make it harder for you. we're just not going to make it as hard for the other people. When you've been the oppressor for so long, any equality feels like oppression to you.
Yeah.
You're going to go out of your way. All affirmative action means is we're going to actually go out of our way to try to help some other people that we've grossly overlooked forever. Mm. Right? If there's 100 college students and 96 of them are white men, or 90 of them are white men, you know, 6 are white women, and you're like, you know, we want just like maybe 4 non-white men.
They're like,
now well, those 4 people are like, that's not fair.
Yeah, I was already qualified. That person, and they always make it seem like, well, this person is less qualified and you're picking a less qualified.
And that's usually
person.
Not the case. The fact that legacy admissions are not considered DEI, like Dr. Phil being like, I'm against DEI. And I was like, nigga, you? Mm-hmm. Who we have would have never heard of ever if it weren't for Oprah Winfrey. Yeah. You should thank you owe your entire
career
as a television person.
There would be no
to
Dr.
Oprah
Phil
Winfrey.
Show.
You're against the like nigga. We remember this. Me and Angel 40. We remember you. Yeah. We remember you on Oprah.
The Oprah
then
Winfrey
you
show.
On the Dr. Phil show. What
oh,
are you
now,
talking about?
Let me
about?
Tell you, a white man will always conveniently forget that they made it somewhere because of a black woman. Y'all would have starved during slavery if somebody's black woman wasn't breastfeeding you. You would have starved.
Jack Daniel's whiskey was created by a slave. We just now got Uncle Nearest. The whole story on the back of the bottle was a lie, Esteban.
A lie, Esteban.
A slave taught you how to make whiskey. And you went and turned it into a $1 billion franchise. And Uncle Nearest is less than, what, 6, 7 years old? Maybe 10?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about Uncle Nearest for real until like maybe 18, 19. It was around the pandemic time.
Yeah, right around the pandemic time is when Uncle Nearest
Man,
became.
Stop! Mm-hmm. Eli Whitney, listen, slavery was so oppressive. Eli Whitney was like, we got to create something. I can't be doing this all day. Let me come up with the cotton gin. If we're going to have to do
if
that.
We got to do this.
The doggone oppression led to innovation.
Yeah.
Because them folks are like, I'm not finna. This is backbreaking work. Can I just make it be back hurting there, if I can't get out of this? Like, brother.
It is insane to me. And it does, again, I have grossly underestimated the ignorance and the laziness of a lot of people. And that is why we end up with someone like a Donald Trump being able to run for a third time.
Isn't it enough, I'm man? Like, who, it's been 12 years of this.
Who keeps betting
actually
on a
more
horse?
If you consider the primaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and but first we started
and
hearing
Obama, the whole birtherism thing.
We were hearing about him way too much when the our forever president was running. So we've had him for so long. This broken horse. The Republicans really should be. They should really feel terrible that they're having to put this man as their front runner yet again.
Well, you know why they don't feel terrible? Because it's really reflective of America, the country.
The current state.
This would not be the case, the case if Donald Trump didn't reflect the way so many people feel. That's the only reason it's working.
Identifying
because so many people are like, one policy or another, they feel like the world being taken care of them. I'm sorry, being taken away from them. Abortion, gay rights, civil rights, jobs, for whatever reason, enough people feel like this person represents me enough that I'm going to vote for him, or he's saying the things that I, the quiet part out loud or the loud part out loud, depending on what it is. Uh-huh. That's the only thing. If this weren't, if he didn't reflect the, I can't even say underbelly of America, that man got millions of votes.
He did. I'll say, yes, he did. However, it's all about, do you want to win the election or do you want to actually like make the country better? Because none of his policies are really moving forward with, I would say, the core of the Republican Party actually want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you do have now some outliers, some like, I feel like derivatives of the Republican Party that he does represent. But my thing is, yeah, he'll get the most votes, but y'all are not going to see the America that y'all claim that y'all want to see.
As long as a black woman don't get in there, that's good enough.
I think, actually, I'm going to be honest. I think we're now past racism. I think they would be okay if they could have found a black woman to run against him that they thought, not him, to be in his place. They would put her in his spot.
Republican?
Yes.
Like a Candace Owens or something?
If they could find, it could have been a Latin woman, they would have put a woman of color.
Really?
Absolutely. I think now it's more so about... This is what I sometimes want to be like, Republicans, stand up. If y'all really believe that y'all have a brighter future for America, then don't put up this puppet that is does not actually care what you all want.
Right.
Let's be frank.
Keep it all the way funky.
There's a sector of the Republican Party that is very racist, that's very radical, that's very homophobic, that he surely does represent. But then there's also an actual larger sector of the Republican Party that ain't that terrible.
Right.
But they're just like, whatever we got to do to get into the White House. No, like, what is it really? At one point in time, these MFers that were in politics really believed in America. They did. I thought it was the strangest thing, but they really believed in a country of people where the government wasn't in everyone's business and that we live. But now they're just like, as long as we have somebody wearing our jersey.
That's all we matter. It's all
in
matter.
The White House. And it's just like, y'all shouldn't. It's disgusting to me. That it really makes them, they used to not be that disgusting to me. They were a little misguided, but not disgusting. That is disgusting to me.
I agree.
You know, I'm sorry.
You know how bad Trump is? We forgot how we felt about Baby Bush.
That's what I'm saying.
We have forgotten how we felt about Baby Bush in office. You're like, you know what? He'd be kind of cute with Michelle Obama. They got a little thing going. He be painting stuff. During the moment, we were like, this nigga Bush is the dumbest person ever. Mission accomplished. He don't care about black people. He overflew New Orleans during Katrina. Baby Bush is like, come on, man. He dodged the shoe. He like, hey, at least I was likable. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what Trump has done. Baby Bush is like, man, that Batman crazy. I was tripping, but I wasn't tripping like he was tripping.
Is he the last Republican president alive?
Baby Bush?
Yeah.
Dang, I think so.
You see, he ain't came out and said.
Who is alive total? Jimmy Carter.
I thought he gone.
He with us. No, he's still with us.
I thought he just died.
Oh, Angel? He was watching the airplanes fly over the house. I thought he died
like literally right after
that. Jimmy Carter still.
I thought he died like 2 weeks ago. He's still with us.
Jimmy Carter's still here.
So Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, Obama, Trump.
Yeah, Jimmy voted. I think.
Jimmy voted.
I was there.
I looked. And he's still alive.
And Clinton. I think we only have, what, four?
And Obama. Did you mention Obama? Obama. Okay. So
yeah, he's the only one, because I think what was before him, Reagan was the last Republican.
Yeah, and he
Daddy Bush was before Daddy Reagan, Bush, or was after Reagan?
Yes, Daddy Bush. It was Reagan, Daddy Bush, Clinton,
Baby Bush.
Clinton, Baby Bush.
Oh yeah, well, I was just saying the Republicans. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see, he ain't said nothing.
His Who?
Bush.
No, he's painting. He's like, well, I'm chilling. People don't hate me as much. I'm being quiet.
But no. What I'm saying is that. In these races where it's that close, mm-hmm. having prior sitting presidents.
Oh, on your side.
On your side, speaking to this is what is good for the American Republic.
I ain't heard Baby Bush say a word. I don't even know the last time I've heard him speak.
He's embarrassed by what is happening.
Because Obama got his sleeves rolled up.
He's almost at every single one.
Yeah, he was rapping Eminem lyrics in Detroit.
He was like, we don't have time for this fool, because you know what? He messed up. He messed up during Hillary's. He said the American public, I remember this, and I was like, you were with these people for 8 years. How come you don't understand these people? Mm-hmm. He said the American public is too smart to vote in Donald Trump. And we watched it happen. And I was like, see, I wanted to be like,
that's the problem with that tan suit.
Yeah. I was like, why you trust us like that? No, you needed to be more. I know you're the sitting president. You need to be more vocal.
Got to be more vocal.
So anyways, now I'm glad that him and my forever first lady are taking a more active approach mm-hmm. in this election, because the stakes are way too high. And we're not talking about the stakes. There are a lot of high stakes. This is not to say that the genocide is not a huge stake right now, and all the other genocides happening in the world. Domestically, though, we're dealing with voters' rights, women's rights.
Yep.
all the things that we know to be true in America vanishing before our eyes. Vanishing. Oh my God. I just can't. I can't. I can't. I know. I don't know how. Oh, we got over here because of Tony Lynch. But I cannot wait until after the election, however it goes.
Yeah, you know. I'm taking my baby down to the ballot box for the first time.
Wow. Oh, you're only taking them to the box? Y'all not voting at the polls?
Well, I mean, that's what I meant.
Y'all aren't going to go to the polls.
Yeah, we're going down to that church.
Oh, yeah.
We got to go and circle some stuff.
I said I'd like to take my ancestors with me. Mm-hmm. I feel like they are
You want your mom?
My mother's not an ancestor.
She's
alive.
She's alive.
You know what I mean? I mean, like.
No.
I wasn't sure.
No.
I mean, like.
When I say I'm taking my ancestors with me, I mean I'm taking the ones that were slaves that couldn't vote.
Peter came.
Yeah, I guess he gonna come with me too. But my mother is alive.
You
okay.
Know, I mean, like, all right, y'all. Thank you so much.
I'm gonna tell my mama you think she's
Here's a Patreon. Don't click off. I want to tell y'all. We got a quick little family meeting since y'all all here.
Ooh.
So don't click off. But everybody else, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Y'all.
Here's another banger for ya. Here's another one. Yeah. Here's another banger for ya. Here's another one. Yeah. Here's another banger for ya. Fire. Here's another banger for ya. With my boy Kev on stage and that chick Angel.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.